Welcome to the Small Business Whole Health Podcast. We help you stay happy, healthy, and whole so your small business can thrive and stay vital in this ever-changing world. With holistic coaches and small business owners, Jill and Dan.
Hello, Jill.
Hello, Dan. How are you?
Yes, doing well. Doing well.
Good, good. What have you been up to this week?
Enjoying the sunshine.
Yeah, yay. It's been gorgeous.
I know, it's been lovely, hasn't it? So yeah, I've been topping up the tan, which I've never, ever, ever had.
Topping up the transparency.
Yeah. So yeah, the tan's getting better and the hair and beard are getting longer and longer and longer. But yes. Barbershops are open on July the 4th.
Will you be first in the queue?
I tried to book in, but like it was literally full for the first 5 days. So I think I'm there like the 9th or the 10th or something.
Yeah, well, you can work on it. It's like beard watch, this podcast. Even though listeners, you can't see the beard, I can see it. Quite magnificent at the moment.
Yeah, so it's going to get trimmed down. But no, apart from that, I've been doing the online classes, been doing some online learning. Yeah, just keeping in the loop. What about you?
Good. Good. Yeah, same. I finished my 6 weeks with Michael King on Wednesday. That was good. So, yeah, you know, when you learn something and someone's so knowledgeable about something and then your head just feels like it's about to explode. And I think it takes another 6 months of processing, doesn't it, just to infiltrate the information into your life and just start to learn and use it.
There's a phrase, isn't there? You learn in layers. So sometimes you might have to go back to it in a few months' time and you might think, oh, that's really just sunk in now because it was overloaded when I first learned it.
I like that. Learning layers.
You learn in layers. So if you kind of, it's when you read it, one of your favorite books and you go back to it a year later and you think, oh, I didn't really pick up on that the first time.
Yeah.
And even when you watch things on telly, like a comedy, and you'll watch it again the second time and you'll pick up on a, like a little kind of minute joke that you think, oh, I didn't even laugh at that the first time.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it? So that was a very good kind of introduction there, Dan, that you did there to our topic today, dear listeners, and it is
three books that changed our lives,
books that rocked our world. Now I've struggled actually to get them down to three. I think I've actually got four,
which kind of destroys our title of the podcast. So between us we have seven.
Yeah, the seven books that changed our lives.
We share one in common. So should we talk about that first?
Yeah, let's do it. Because the one book, and the reason that we are here today, we would never have met, Dan, if we hadn't been for this book, would we?
Yep. So the book is by Paul Check, who we mention all the time. His book is called How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy, which is very self-explanatory. Yeah, it's a bit of a Bible of how to live a healthy lifestyle, isn't it?
It is definitely my Bible. And every time when I wonder what to do with a client or with myself, it is the one book that I go back to all the time. And I have done for about 10 years, I think. It's got everything in it, hasn't it? Like everything you would want to know about health, fitness, wellness, it's in that book.
Yeah, absolutely. And anyone who is in the health and wellness profession, it should be part of your library, shouldn't it?
Oh, Without a doubt, it is the definitive guide to everything. And sometimes I think that Paul Check was so far ahead of his time. Like we kind of forget that he was the one person talking about all this stuff like years ago, wasn't he? You know, like you got to drink enough water. You can't like kill it in the gym. You've got to work your stabilizing muscles as well. And he was all about Swiss balls. And even though he does like all the heavy lifting stuff, he's still talking about all the other stuff and the parasites. And that always freaks me out, the parasite chapter.
He's got a really good course on parasites, but it's just so scary because the more you look into it, then I think his predictions based on his research is that 90 to 95% of the world has a fungal or a parasite infection.
It's so scary. Whenever we've done any of the courses, I'm always convinced that I've got one somewhere.
Yeah, me too.
I've got a worm or something like that. Oh my God, there, I've got that symptom. Yeah, that must be, I must have a worm.
Yeah, but you're right when you said he was ahead of his time because he was using Swiss balls and even things which are commonplace in the health and fitness industry now, like the bulletproof coffee, like putting butter or fat into coffee. Paul was doing that in the late 80s, but it just didn't become mainstream. But he was teaching it to his high-profile clients, and he knew the science years ago. It's just fantastic, isn't it? And the reason it's so good is that he was so diligent in his own research, kind of fixing clients with real health problems. His, like, we've seen videos and photos of his library, and there's just thousands and thousands and thousands of books. And he openly admitted, like, he just took all of the info in those books and his years of experience and condensed it into his book. And it's written in a fashion which is easy to digest. There's lots of diagrams and pictures and charts. So it's not a hard read, is it?
No. And it reminded me of two quotes there. Leaders are readers. And it's absolutely true. The more well-read you are, the better you are at leading. And everybody who is business person or high up, they all say that they read loads. So,
yeah, is it Warren Buffett, who is one of the richest men in the world, the stocks and shares,
yes,
and that type of thing?
Yeah.
He still reads 4 or 5 hours a day.
And he's in his 90s, isn't he, as well?
Yeah,
so he's still got that love of learning. And Bill Gates as well, he's another one.
Yeah. Don't mention Bill Gates.
I was going to mention him now. With Dan's conspiracy theorist head on.
We'll get banned.
No.
We'll get a shadow ban on our brand new podcast.
We don't want to get banned before we even start. I wasn't being derogatory about him, but yes, he's got a very good brain. Isn't there a Netflix thing? You told me about it, about his brain. Anyway, let's not talk about Bill Gates. We're talking about Paul Check.
Yeah. So what is your favourite part of the book? Do you have a favourite chapter, a favourite part?
I think I really liked, I can't remember what it's called, but it's the bit about his core, the core, obviously, because I'm a Pilates teacher. And when I read that chapter, I was just like, yes, this is it. This is the first book that brought all of that stuff together for me, that your core, and it's linked to the other parts of your body, obviously. I mean, it's obvious, but in terms of what you're eating, that can shut down your core, how your digestive system works. He's big on the whole digestive system, isn't he, Paul Check? And that was one of the main things. I was like, gosh, yes, this all makes sense to me now.
Yeah, it's absolutely fascinating, isn't it? I was reading it recently again, actually. It's called Getting to the Core of It. That's what the chapter's called. But it's the analogies. That's what he does really well. He compares complex subjects with more kind of common everyday life subjects, and so people can understand it and digest it a little bit better. I'm not sure if he coined the phrase, but he certainly used it a lot, that you can't fire a cannon from a canoe. And it was all about people who build the big muscles of the limbs, like the big leg muscles and biceps and of the arms and shoulders. But if your core's really weak, it's like taking a little canoe and putting a gigantic cannon on there and firing the cannon, and the canoe is going to tip over. It's going to smash the structure to pieces. So he has lots of diagrams which shows if you build like a kind of a strong base first, then you can fire those big muscles from a safer standpoint. And it's just, when you read that, it just clicks, it drops into place, doesn't it?
Yeah, everything, when I read that book, I think I read it from cover to cover in about 2 days. And I just thought, this makes so much sense. It's like, why did I not think about it? And why does nobody else think about it?
And even quite complex issues, there's a part called neuromuscular inhibition, which sounds really complex, but essentially what it is, he describes it as, so the digestive system is linked to the muscles in your abdominals and your lower back. So if you eat an inflammatory food or something that you're allergic to, the organs need the blood and the nutrition to repair themselves and to calm the inflammation. So the muscles that are linked to those organs are just going to shut down. So if you think, God, my abdominals are so weak, it's not because you don't know how to work your abdominals. It's because the organs that are linked to that same neurological loop, they're just getting battered all the time by all this crap food you're eating. And I just thought, like, wow, when I first heard about that, I was like, that makes so much sense. And then he to even further drill the point in, he says, oh, well, imagine it this way. When someone has a heart attack, they don't feel pain in the heart. They feel it in the left arm, don't they?
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, yeah. And he says, well, this happens all over the body. You need to pick up on the signals. Blew my mind. I just thought it was fascinating.
Yeah. And then both of us have gone on to study with the Czech Institute, and we're big fans, aren't we? So, and that's how we met as well. So we've got a lot to thank that book for, dear listeners.
Absolutely, yeah. So what's your second book?
My second book is the Joseph Pilates Return to Life Through Contrology book, which, again, I read that when I first started as a Pilates instructor. And he kind of touches on the whole holistic side of it. I mean, it was written in the 1930s, and he does say living in a healthy body creates a healthy mind. And, you know, if you read his words, although it's not a very thick book, it's only got a few pages in it, and his exercises, it was only 35, I think, that he wrote down. But he was writing that, and you were thinking, gosh, yeah, it's so true that mind and body are linked. And keeping he's all about the digestive system as well. Similar, really, but he doesn't go into as much detail as Polchek did. But he was ahead of his time as well, was Joseph.
Why do you think, because we've already used that term a few times, like ahead of his time, why do you think that happens? Do you think the information gets suppressed by other information that's not as good in which they just want to market, like, and create money? Or do you just think these people were ahead of the time? I mean,
yeah, they're probably thinking they study stuff so much and then start to, isn't that what's it called, neuroplasticity, where you start to think about stuff and you study and then you connect with other things and then that creates something new. So I think they were both very similar. I know Paul Check still very much alive and he's probably still thinking and got new stuff coming out as well. So I don't know. I think it's a combination of both. I think it's just people who are that obsessed with a subject or a topic, they make those connections and then that makes something new.
I think it comes down to as well, those types of people, it's where they've found the passion in life, like 100%, where like they have that spirit of like, this is why I'm here. They are so clear on their mission that they kind of blow the doors off everyone else who's in the same field. That's the impression I get as well.
Yeah, and I remember listening to Matt, who's the director of training, I think, at the Czech Institute now, and he said when he first met Paul, he was like blown away by everything that he was saying. And when he spoke to him later on, I think Paul had said something like, I'm going to figure this out, this life thing. And Matt said, actually, when I looked at him, I thought, God, you're probably the only person on this planet that actually could do that. So...
pretty big statement, isn't it?
Yeah. So we love that book. If any of you, the readers, want to get it, it's called How to Eat, Move and Be Healthy by Paul Check, and highly recommend. It's not cheap, is it? It's not a cheap book to buy.
But it's, again, the amount we've used it.
I think I remember it being the most expensive book I'd ever bought. That wasn't like for university, you know, the study guides and stuff.
Oh, like a textbook, yeah.
Yeah. I remember thinking that. But it's such a good one. And that's the reason why we're here today. And cool. I use it all the time with my clients and everything.
Yeah.
So what's your second one then, Dan?
My second one is How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie. So this one is special to me because it's probably the first book I bought that kind of got me into the whole self-development path, I should say. It was written in the 1940s, I believe, and it sold millions of copies. Yeah, it was the first book that got me onto this kind of journey of improve your health, improve your mindset, improve your relationships with other people. And it just kind of triggered me to kind of explore a little bit. And even though it was written 60, 70 years ago, it's still as real as ever. I know you've heard of it. Have you read it before?
I've not read it. No, I've not. Have you not? One of the few I haven't read.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, so that's kind of the reason why I like it so much, is because it was the catalyst for me to start learning these things. And when you start going into this field, you start learning that a lot of the topics other people talk about do link back to what Dale Carnegie was talking about in the first place. Do you ever find that when you read other books?
Yeah, it's because if they're teaching principles don't change. Tactics change, but principles will never change. Like the principles of a healthy life, you know, drink water, move your body, get outside. That never changes. The principle to losing weight, go into a calorie deficit. That doesn't ever change. There's no physics. Physics is what's kind of like, that never changes, does it? But what you use around it, look at all the diet books that are out there. If they just said, right, go into a calorie deficit, that's the end of the diet book. And your diet book, which would be then eat organic stuff, then that's two sentences. You could sum it all up, but there's like millions of diet books out there. So these older kind of people, they're teaching the original principles and nothing else changes. Like sales and marketing, it's just the same, isn't it? People don't change.
No, so that's what this book is kind of around. A lot of it's kind of sales and marketing and how to improve business through relationships. And yeah, they just, again, it's one of those books that it's so simple. And you think, why didn't I think of that? But it's got the really good authors as well. So there's a phrase, isn't there? If you can make a complex message seem simple, I forget what it is, but that's kind of what it is. You're taking complex subjects and making them sound very simple. That's the sign of true wisdom, isn't it? Or like a true teacher. Like he has things, like one of the titles of his chapters is How to Win an Argument. And then he goes in to say, well, you just need to avoid an argument because there's no such thing. No one ever wins an argument. Like both people lose, because the person who loses the argument then has the self-esteem torn to shreds. And then the person who wins the argument ends up being hated even more by the person they were arguing with. And they can almost feel like a bully to some degree that they've just tossed someone's self-esteem down. Yeah, but every chapter is just like, it's quite an easy read and it's funny. It has lots of examples as well, which is always good because you can relate it to everyday life.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think I'll read that one now then, Dan.
You can probably get it quite cheap now, to be honest, because it's been revised and it's been that many copies sold. Kindle edition for dead cheap.
All right, I'll put that on my reading list then while the weather's nice.
Yeah. Cool. So what's your third book?
Right, my third book is Atomic Habits by James Clear, and you know, I talk about it all the time on here, don't I? It's just one of the best books. If you want to break a bad habit, you have to know what habit is and how it's made up and what constitutes a habit and how to change it. And this book will describe everything about how everything we do in life we're a collection of our habits. And I know we've talked about it a lot on our podcast, but yeah, it's one of the best books I've ever read. And like you say, it's got lots of real life examples and things that you can actually do. Because I find that other book, The Power of Habit, that we talked about, the Charles Duhigg one, that's kind of more the theory behind habits, whereas this one's like the practical guide to change, and it kind of builds upon that book. So it's actually his weekly emails are really good as well. So if you want to sign up, they're always really good to read. I like them.
So, yeah, I'm gonna have to read this one because you've mentioned it that many times. And I've listened to the audio book of The Precursor, the one that you mentioned there by Charles Duhigg.
Yeah.
So I think the next step is for me to read this because comes highly recommended.
It does come highly recommended. And then Paul Check recommended it last night, didn't he? So.
Which made you ecstatic.
Yeah, which was a sign. It's a sign that you've got to read it now.
Yeah.
So it is really good.
Have you ever listened to the author? Has he been on any podcasts or shows?
I haven't, no, funnily enough. I should do, shouldn't I? I just read what he puts out in his weekly emails.
Right.
He never really mentions that he's gone on a podcast or anything. So
he probably will be somewhere. Because I mean, it's a pretty good book, isn't it? And it's quite well known now.
Yeah, so it's really good. I think the author, he had an accident and had to learn how to rebuild his life, and that's how he started with the daily habits and how to track them and how to identify what they are and how to change them. Yeah. So, what's your next one then, Dan? How many have we gone through now? That was my third one, was it?
Yeah, so this is my last one coming up, but I know you chose four, so I'll let you
do it. Okay. You do yours first and then I'll do mine.
All right, okay. So my last one is, although we've gone through these kind of deep, meaningful subjects of like psychology and stuff and these bestsellers, my next one is a little slightly funnier and slightly more lighthearted, but very relevant. It is a Jamie Oliver cookbook.
Yeah. No, if it changed your life, that's allowed in the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. But it sounds a little bit silly, but when I was kind of a late teenager, I didn't know how to cook. I saw some of Jamie Oliver online and bought one of his books, and it just made the idea of cooking really simple, and I actually enjoyed it. And as a young man, you need to learn these things. So I learned how to cook, kind of fell in love with it. Yeah, and it's really, really helped me on my journey to health and fitness by knowing what healthy food is and not being intimidated by the thought of these cooking these complex meals. You can eat healthy with fresh ingredients. Yeah, you literally are what you eat. So that was a big thing for me. So yeah, that literally changed my life. And I didn't really think about it until we decided to do this podcast. And I thought, should I put that in? It's not very sexy, is it? Like this Jamie Oliver Coop poop. He's got about 100 of them. But I thought, no. Like it was a big catalyst for change. So I had to put it in.
Yeah, I quite like Jamie Oliver as well. And he's done a lot for like children's cooking in schools and stuff. And I totally agree with it. Everything he says, you know, that isn't it like some children couldn't identify a courgette or something? You know, he's done the surveys and things about food.
He had the flashcards. He went into schools, didn't he? And he put the cards out and there was 20 fruits and vegetables. And on average, the kids knew like 3 or 4. But then he got 20 fast food logos and like they pretty much knew them all, didn't they?
Yeah.
And he said, that's what we teach our kids.
So he's kind of on our wavelength, isn't he, with the whole foods and organic and everything that we say.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a famous chef, but he's not just about cooking fancy food. There's a kind of real deep meaning of health behind it, which looking back now, maybe one of the things the reason I got into him even before I was in the health and fitness game.
Good one. He's allowed in then.
Yeah, he's allowed. Jamie Oliver, you are officially
honoured to be.
We'll have to tell him later. I'm sure he'll be on the moon.
We'll tag him in this podcast so that he changed your life. And that's a big thing.
Absolutely, yeah. So what is your bonus book?
Right, so this is my bonus one. So the ones that we've all chosen so far have been non-fiction books. And this fiction book completely changed my life. And it is 1984 by George Orwell. And it is one of the best books that you'll ever read. And people think, oh, God, is George Orwell a bit heavy? But he's not. He's such a good writer and storyteller. And you'll read it and you'll just be like, why have I never read this book before? And when I read it, when I was at school, I think when I first read it, it was like in the Cold War time. So when I was about 13, 14. And I remember thinking, gosh, this is real. When he wrote it in 1934, yeah? Was it 1948?
No,
yeah. Why did I think it was 34? 1948, yes, because he just transferred the letters, the numbers around. I remember thinking, gosh, this is so true. Like, we didn't know whether the Russians or the Americans were going to, we thought we were going to get nuclear bombed. And it was all very 1980s. And it was so true. Probably I read it in 1984. There you go. And then... And then I read it again when Tony Blair was saying that we needed to go to war with Iraq. And I was saying, oh my goodness, this is real again. And now I feel I need to read it again. It's all about Big Brother is watching you. We need to be constantly at war with an enemy because that's what subjugates the masses. So many things come from 1984. Big Brother, Room 101. So much stuff. That's in modern times. Thought crimes, that's from there. Change the language. The language that you use is very powerful. So much stuff from 1984. And it's another one of those books that every time I read it, I think, gosh, yes, this is so true. And
yeah, it's very, I've never read it, but I don't know how, because I'm a big into the whole quote-unquote conspiracy theories. But it's more relevant now than ever, I think, isn't it?
Oh, against an enemy. Now we don't see the enemy, do we? We can't see it. It's a virus, but it's the same principles apply. It's actually a love story, 1984. It's really, it's such a good book. Yeah, you've got to read it, Dan. You have to read it.
100%. Yeah, it's definitely probably the number one book I want to read. But an interesting subject, which you mentioned there, about everyone has to be against an enemy. That's how governments control people, give someone a common enemy to bring them together. Keep them under control. I watched a documentary recently about extraterrestrial life. Okay, this is going a little bit out there. But the guy was saying when the people who are in charge, his theory is when they run out of enemies once the world's conquered by even all the third world countries are under control by the people who are in charge, they stop doing things like pandemics because they kind of use the same tactics all the time. Otherwise, people become wise to it. He was saying, if you've noticed over the last 50 years, all the films which are about aliens and extraterrestrial life, 99% of them portray extraterrestrial life as being out to kill humanity, like Independence Day, aliens, and there's loads of them. And he was saying he thinks it's a long-term plan when they run out of enemies, that's going to be a way to unite people. they're going to say, oh, there's actually been signs of an alien invasion is going to happen. Listen to us and do this and we'll save you. And he's like totally convinced. And he puts forward a really good argument. It's a little bit out there, but it does make sense.
We're definitely going to get banned.
Yeah. Damn it.
What do you think about the flat earthers then, Dad?
Yeah, let's not like just piss everyone off in one go.
Yeah. So 1984, bringing it back. It is such a good book. Then you need to read it. And George Orwell, I've read all of George Orwell's books. I'm a massive fan of his. And they're all so well written. Like the fact that George Orwell and Terry Pratchett lived in the world is why I'm struggling to write my book.
So how did George Orwell know all this stuff?
How did he know it? He was a journalist in the war, and I think in the Second World War, and he just came up with it all. He's just a very clever man.
I think there are a lot more people out there like that, but they get subdued and they just get pushed aside and get called crazy. But when they're onto something, like they stick with it, they eventually do slip through the cracks and the message gets out, doesn't it?
Well, he wrote Animal Farm first, which is a much smaller book. And that was kind of when he was trying to test out some of the ideas that he then developed in 1984. So if you're going to start, read Animal Farm first. And then, because that's a really good book as well.
Yeah.
But it's not as thick. And that's all about the takeover on a farm by Napoleon the Pig. It's really, really good. And then he developed that further into humans. Because I think he was just testing the water to see how it would go down. And then 1984 came out, and it's just... The thing is, with 1984, they've tried to make films of it. There's not many films around of 1984 because you can't actually get that creeping sense of dread that you actually get from the book.
Yeah.
His language he uses, the timing, the storytelling, it's just amazing. And when you read it, you just get lost in it because you think, I can't not know what happens.
It's fascinating when you read a book because when you watch a movie or a television show, it's there, it shows you what's actually happening. But when you read a book, it's your imagination. So you take the same words somebody else reads, but you put your own spin on it. And there's no better feeling than like a real page turner when like you kind of put it down.
Yeah, so, yeah. Especially when you get to the room 101 bit and you're reading it with absolute dread, thinking, what is going to happen here? It's just horrendous. It's horrendous, really.
Yeah.
If you don't like rats, particularly, don't read it.
To be honest, I've had a few rats in the back garden. I've got a bit of a vendetta against rats.
But that's where Room 101 comes from. It's like your worst fear. And his was rats. If mine would be frogs. If I got put in Room 101 with frog, I would have a heart attack.
Is it like, have you seen the film Bird Box, where if they open their eyes, they see the worst nightmare and then they commit suicide?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Have they seen that? Bird Box. Well, that's like when that's you. You would open your eyes and they'd be like frogs.
See a frog. Like the worst thing that could happen to me.
Yeah. To be honest, I think I'm going to order Animal Farm and 1984 because.
Go on, Dan, and so then we can do a future podcast and discuss it.
Depth.
Exactly. I might reread them again.
Then we'll have to change the name of the podcast from Small Business Soul Health to Dan and Jill's Conspiracy Adventures.
Conspiracy book reviews.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, so that's did you have another one or
no? That's I finished on Jamie Oliver. I was going to go into the Mr. Men books after, but I thought we'll leave them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've finished on a high on a George Orwell book. I think we've driven up the critical acclaim of our podcast.
Yeah, it's slightly more intellectual, yeah. But listeners out there, if you have any favourite books or book recommendations you think would be really helpful to us and other listeners regarding business and health or anything really, then let us know because we are avid readers and we'd like to hear from you.
Absolutely.
This has been a good one, Jill.
I think so, Dan. I think we've kept bringing everything back to Paul Check, but we are fans.
Well, it's true. If you can, I think it can help everyone in some way.
Spread the love.
Spread the love, yeah. So where can people find you, Jill?
I am on organicpilates.co.uk and Facebook and Instagram and all over the place. What about you?
The best place to find me is on Facebook, Daniel Purvis Health and Fitness, but I am branching out. I'm sure.
Ooh, you've got things in the pipeline.
Yes. Plans for world domination.
Do they include some conspiracy theories?
Of course. Of course.
I love it. So what would we like our listeners to do?
First of all, we want you to pass the pod. So if you
pass
the pod, yeah. So if you enjoyed this and you think it's going to be something your friends and family would enjoy, then let them know about it and they can listen to. If you really enjoyed it, then a review would be fantastic. And if you didn't enjoy it, then just give it a little secret.
Yeah, then just don't tell us, because that will shatter our fragile egos, won't it? And we'll never do a podcast again.
Yeah. So if you want to keep hearing the mad ramblings of me and Jill, please leave us a review. It would be very much appreciated. And yeah, we'll see you soon for another topic.
Excellent. Thanks, yeah. Dan.
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye, everyone.